Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence this morning. I thank you for the gift of music. I thank you for song. I thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord, because it's because of him we gather and celebrate and worship. And it's because of him we can know you, and we just love you for that. And I just pray that you just draw us closer to you, Lord, especially as we look at your plan. We look at your plan for our church, and we look for the plan of the future, and we look for your plan to be in your will. Help us, Lord, to do that. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy New Year. 2020. That's even hard for me to even say. You know, and I was thinking about this week, you know, and I know some of you can even think back. But, you know, I'm born in the 60s and really didn't understand 66 to 70. You know, I was just a little guy. You know, so I basically am a kid of the 70s. And, you know, in the 80s, I was in my young man years, high school. And, you know, I had good memories of the 80s. It's amazing when I turn on a radio now, 80s music is classic, you know, because I was like, how is it classic? It's the music I grew up with. I've known it all my life. You know, in the 90s and just everything. And now 2020, it's just, and it's gone by so fast. You know, and I was just talking to Janice and I was bringing her in, and she was telling me a story from 1956. So, and she said, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was thinking, 1956, that wasn't even a thought, you know, at all. So, it's amazing how time goes by. So happy New Year. You know, I was thinking this week, how are you with planning? How are you with planning? You know, are you one of those people that have to like detail everything out? Or are you a person that's like, have like a loose plan and kind of work it as you go? You know, I was thinking about this. It's funny because that describes Sharon and me. If you know us, Sharon is a very detailed person. You can just go down and you can watch her. She maps everything out. The calendar is everything. And then there's me. I have a loose plan and I just kind of run with it when it happens. And it drives her absolutely bananas. And her way drives me bananas. So it's kind of like, you know, but we work together. You know, and a couple years ago, I don't know, we made this huge trip. We went over 6,000 miles. You know, we drove from here to Colorado, to Georgia, and then across the southern states. You know, my friend up on the coast down in Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo area, and then came home. And we did it. Sharon had, like, we named places that we wanted to go. And there was dates and times that we had to be. But, you know, that's just too boring for me, so I have to add some spontaneity in it. And so we would have like a general idea, but we wouldn't start planning where we're going to eat and stay the night until we got about halfway through the drive. You know, and then we would get on our phones, and it became like a game in the van that we were all trying to find the best place to eat, you know, in this town up ahead. You know, between 8 and 10 hours driving, it was mandatory to find a place, you know, and it made for some interesting hotel accommodations. But it worked out good. I mean, we figured out, we had a lot of fun, and we ate at places that you would have never even thought of, you know. But then there was other big places we went to. You know, we had family in Colorado, and there was a big thing of getting to the barbecue places in Kansas City. You know, it all resolved around food. You know, in Memphis, I went to the Porky's, the pork place, the ribs, and then, you know, and then I had to go to the Big Texan. I had to go see that big 72-ounce steak. I didn't get it, but I had to see it, you know. You know, then we ended up stopping at places that I never expected. You know, like there was a battleground in Tennessee, Battle Creek, Stony Creek Battleground. It was a Civil War. It was amazing. I never knew it even existed. And we found that because Sharon had to use the restroom. And we're like, look at that sign. And we went. You know, and then we went to the crater in Arizona and the petrified forest. And it just was a great, great time. So what did I say? Why did I say all that? you know, the thing is, though, we had a plan. You know, you can't get anywhere if you don't have a plan. Even if you're a detailed planner or a loose plan, you got to have a direction, right? You got to have somewhere that you're going. At least have a general idea where you're going. This morning's message is titled God's Plan. And we want to look at our church plan for the next year. And then we also want to just see what God's plan. We want to look at God's plan. And every January, I like to look back. And I like to see what we've done. And I like to look forward and try to envision, you know, what might happen here at the church, you know. But things always kind of change a little bit because, you know, God kind of intervenes or life intervenes. So I just want to just kind of do that this morning. And so this is a special year because I get to say our vision for 2020. Vision 2020. Vision 2020. I knew that was going to go flat, but that's all right. I just wanted to say Vision 2020. That just sounds so cool. Hey, I'll never get to say that again, you know, in my life, ever. So let's recap what we did this last year. You know, so just some of the thoughts that we have in this church, what we've done. You know, we brought in homeschool groups about 5 years ago. I had this idea, you know, I just watching the news and being in California and seeing what's happening in the schools. I felt like, man, the church needs to be supporting homeschool groups. And, you know, and just being out there and seeing that. And I started, you know, prayerfully connecting with some groups. And it's amazing how this winding road happened. But we did. We finally connected with a homeschool group. The Cottage about 2 years ago. They offer enrichment classes for homeschool groups. And they started about 2 years ago. And they had about 30, 40 kids. And they're up to 60 kids now meeting Monday through Thursday here at the church. And then last year, we started a new partnership that has finished their first semester with Legacy Classical Academy. And they have about 70 to 80 kids. Here on Tuesdays and Fridays. Overall, we have about 140 homeschool kids that are calling our church home during the week, which is pretty amazing. If you come up here during the week, you'll just see it. It's crazy. I mean, I can't believe all the people that are here. And then we moved our Awana club. We had it on Wednesday night, we moved it to Sunday nights, and it has about 40 kids in it. So That's amazing. And last year we had our vacation Bible school. We had about 50 kids. So, you know, just think about this. Over the course of the year, we'll have about 200 kids that will interact with this church at any given time, which is pretty amazing, you know, for a church. And you don't even see it hardly, but it's happening. You know, and then we have Wednesday night youth. And Joaquin, I'm glad to see you here this morning. I know it's a morning time for you. Being a Patriots fan, but not happy. I can see the look on your face. But can you tell us something about Wednesday night and the youth? Can you stand up, please? I know I'm putting you on the spot. And Wednesday night, you know, we prayed about this for a long time, that we wanted to reach, we just didn't want to rob kids from other churches. We wanted to reach unchurched kids, right? And we are praying about that, reaching unchurched kids. You know, and then Joaquin comes along about 3 years ago, right? 3 years ago. And, you know, we had a firehouse down there. If you remember, it was a warehouse. It just had a bunch of junk in it. And then, you know, I took him in there and I said, here, Joaquin, what can you do with this? And he had this vision, like, I can see kids here. I can see things happening. And I said, well, here's what I can give you, Joaquin. You ready? I can give you a building, electricity, and water. If you ask me for anything else, I can't give it to you. So don't ask. but it's your building. And if I would encourage you, if you have it, to go get with Joaquin sometime and go look at the firehouse. Maybe even after church today, grab him and go walk down there and just look at what's happened in that building. It's amazing when you go in there. People have given thousands of dollars, air conditioning, all kinds of things that are in there. That's amazing. And to see 20 kids in there, 12, 20 kids in there on a Wednesday night who are unchurched, it's pretty amazing to me. Because that group started from nothing. There was nothing. And God made something. And, you know, and he's going to continue to work that. You know, another thing that Joaquin does that, you know, I'm hoping that it'll come closer to us is gifts of love, where he goes out, you see the basket. How many of you put something in the basket out there in the foyer or seen the basket? You've all seen it, right? That's collections for Joaquin and what he does with the homeless. You know, every other weekend, he goes out with gifts of love and he shares those things and food and gives them Bibles and things. So we want to encourage and be a part of that. He's going to bring that to the Roseville, Rockland area, hopefully. So another thing we do is gathering in. We just had it last night. We had about 50 people there that we fed. And I love that they call our church the Smorgasbord Church. I mean, we literally have that name. They call us they come. I was telling a story last night. I had a guy once tell me he drove, had a job in San Francisco, a homeless guy, had a job in San Francisco, and he drove all the way to Rockland so he could have dinner at our church and sleep on our floor. That's amazing to me because I would have never done that. But he knew that the meal was there was going to be worth it and that he would be loved there. And I always treasure that. You know, we averaged about 65 people, you know, in our congregation as active members. And you know what? We gave $18,000 last year to the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program. $18,000, that's a lot of money. And then we gave $6,000 to our missions, in addition to the $18,000 that we give. That's over $24,000 we've given the missionaries in the U.S. and overseas, and it's also going to help our seminaries because we have 6 Southern Baptist seminaries. And so that money that we give helps all that. We're helping missionaries, disaster relief here in America. We're helping missionaries overseas, and we're helping our seminaries. Our little church, you know, our giving puts us in the top 75% church, 75 churches in the state of California, which is pretty amazing, you know, and we're a 65. That's why I tell you, we're 65 active members, really, which is pretty amazing. So God has used us. And this last year, we had plans, and they got kind of foobarred. They got kind of all messed up, you know. So, you know, we had a frag order. It was, I shouldn't have said that, right? You caught that military thing, you know, it just came out. Frago. I meant to say frago. You know, a frago is, you know, we used to have to do ops orders. If you've ever done anything in the military, you go out on patrol, you have this thing called the op order, right? And it's like 6 pages long. And, you know, while everybody's sleeping, the NCOs, we're out there filling out the stupid op order, right? And we know that we're going to put all this work in it, and we're going to go out to get inspected and get ready to go out on the patrol. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to frago it. They're going to say, orders have changed. You got 30 minutes to come up with new orders. And so you have to throw that out that you just spent 4 hours no sleep preparing, and you got to plan something else. So we had that happen to us last year, because last year the city of Rockland came to us and said, hey, we haven't inspected your fire suppression system in a while, and it needs to be updated. And it's going to cost you a lot of money. And so Steve Leal and Don Jacobs and some of the other leaders in the church did an amazing amount of work. And we got our fire suppression system upgraded. And it cost us $12,000, if you don't know that. It's a lot of money. I don't know how God got us through it. You know, but we had the funds and the means that we could do that. And so, you know, I'm glad to say that we have a fire alarm system that's going to be certified, and it's going to be good. So that means we can start kind of getting back on track with some of the other plans that we had before. And some of those plans were, you know, to replace the carpeting in and around the church. We want to do that. We want to take, and I know some of you won't like this, but some of you will, you know, we want to put chairs here in the sanctuary because we want to be able to functionality with kids and different things that are going on. So we'd like to make that happen. We'd also like to see, you know, an idea for a playground out in the yard, you know, for the kids and for the things that we're doing, you know, a nice one, a professional one. So those are things. And then, you know, we just want to make the church better. We want to make church better for our homeschool groups that we're working with, but most of all for our church family. We just want to keep working and make it in a better place. We've been doing that since I've been here, always upgrading something. I mean, I can tell you from the parking lot to the ramp to everything that's been happening in here, that's we've been doing that. So we're not going to stop doing that. We just want to keep working at that. So I'm proud of what this church has done. I'm proud of what we're doing and where we're going. And I hope you're proud of that. And I hope that you want to be a part of that, you know, with us. We look back and we give thanks and we plan ahead. We look forward. In doing so, it's important that we make sure that we stay in God's plan, right? We stay in God's plan. Hudson Taylor was a famous missionary, and he said this. He had convictions about God's plan and how it should be done. Because, well, let's just think about this. A lot of times we make our best plans and we try to carry them out in our own strength. How many of you have done that? You know, you make all these great plans and you try to carry it out in your own strength and it just doesn't work, right? And then you have other times when you make all these plans and then you ask God to bless them. I mean, how many times you've been a part of a church that, you know, we came up with all these plans and we go to prayer afterwards. Here's our plan, Lord. Bless it. And then who do we blame when it doesn't work? God, he just didn't come through, right? But Hudson Taylor, he suggested that we should be like this. Yet another way of working is to begin with God, to ask his plans and to offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes. That's what we should do, right? We want to seek out God's plan and follow his purposes. So what then is God's plan, right? I mean, some of us have been asking that all our lives. What is God's plan? Well, I can pick up the Bible and I don't know exactly what he has in store for me or for us, but I do know the Bible explains God's plan. There is a plan, and God is implementing that plan. I know that. I can read it in Scripture, and I can see it happening around me. Ephesians chapter 1, 9 through 12 says this. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we've also received inheritance because we are predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with his purpose of his will, so that we who are already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. So there's God's plan, right? God is working his plan in us and in the world. And the first part of that plan is to make Christ known. God's will, according to his good pleasure, is to make Christ known and to bring everything under him, in him, Christ overall. And our vision statement, if you know it, is to know Christ and make Christ known. When I first came here, I put a banner right up here. That same banner hangs in the fellowship hall, and it's the top part of the church. And so our goal and our focus has always been, since I've been here, is to know Christ and to make Christ known. Because that's what we exist for. We exist as a church for that very purpose. Because without that, what's the point? And what's the point of us all gathering here? What's the point of us being together? It's to know Christ and to make Christ known. That is God's purpose, and that's what we want to do. God's plan is to bring all things in heaven and earth together in Christ. That's his plan and his purpose. So we want to be a part of that. Everything is moving in this direction to make Christ known. Everything, and put everything under Christ. Everything is moving in this direction. All of history points to this fact. We can look at it. Everything will be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And everything will be under him. Everything. And we watch world events unfold around us. I mean, just in the news this week, it's been very busy. And we can see it, but we can rest assured that God is working out everything to his good pleasure and will. I might not fully understand it, but that's what he's doing. And I know it. Looking back in my own life, I can just look back in my own life and I can see these things. I can see how God has been working in me and through me to bring me completely into Christ. He does it. He's been doing it. I've been watching it, been a part of it, seen it my own eyes. And you can look at to examine your own life. I bet if you look back, you'll see how God, even if you weren't at a point where you say, I was a believer, you can still look back and see how God was moving you along, bringing you to a place to bring you into Christ. In him, we have received an inheritance, not because of something, because we're special, not because of something we've done, but according to God's plan, which he has planned out from the beginning of time. It's all part of God's plan. This very idea, I don't know if you thought about it, it's a very powerful thought. It's very powerful. I mean, it's life-changing. If you grasp that and hang on to that, it's very powerful. You know, because it enables me, energizes me, and moves me. And most of all, it gives me hope. Knowing that God is working it out. Because things might fail. My body might fail. Friendships might fail. Relationships. All kinds of things will fail in life. But Christ and God is never going to fail. And he's working everything to his plan and his will and his glory. And I'm a part of that. So whatever happens, because it is, and that hope that I have, it's a rock to cling to. Even when I don't see God's plan, I can hang on to that. I can hang on to that. It's a light in the fog. It's a fixed point that I can start working towards, and I know I'll be safe. In the end, I know I'll be safe. For it is God who is working out everything in agreement with his purposes and will, according to his good pleasure. You know, and that's why we say God is good, because this is goodness. So I trust his goodness. I trust his good pleasure. I trust the things that pleases God. Even when I don't understand them, I trust him. He's working out his plan, and I place my hope, my trust in him. And we do this to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Everything is working towards this end. Everything. Think about this, man. Everything that will be brought together in Christ. We have 4,000 years of recorded history. I can look at this book right here. It's almost, this encompasses 2,000 years. 1,500 years of recorded history. And I can see how God was working it. And I can look at the 4,000 years of recorded history, and I can see God has been working towards this. We can see history unfold in front of us. From the first recorded stories that we talked about, the promise of his son coming in Genesis, all the way to Christ's birth, crucifixion, and resurrection. I mean, just think, we said 2020. What is that? In the year of our Lord, right? The calendar that we're counting 2020 points to Christ in his birth. That zero year was his birth. It was 2020 years ago. Everything we march to time, all that we do is pointing to Christ and the birth, crucifixion, and resurrection. And we're remembering that. All of history is moving us in that direction. And from Christ ascending and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the establishment of the church, which we're a part of right now, we've seen this history. We've seen it all play out. God is playing it all out. And you and I have a part in this plan. And you know what? You have a part in a plan whether you believe it or not. Think about that. It doesn't matter if you believe in God's plan or not. It's working out exactly the way He wanted to. And you might have a part to be against it, but you're in the plan. So what does that mean for us? You know, we want to start the new year, first of all, trusting in God's plan. That we can look back and we can see God's working out everything to His good pleasure and will. And we want to trust Him. It starts by trusting in Jesus Christ. Because He is the reason everything exists. It's Christ. To the Father, by the Son, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the central point of all that. He, you know, remember He told the Pharisees, all of Scripture testifies to Me. Testifies to Him and His coming. And His coming again. And so we want to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We want to put our faith in God's plan. The plan of sending His Son to be buried, to live the perfect life. To sacrifice it, be buried and rise again according to the Scriptures. We put our faith in Christ. And it says, you know what I read in the Bible, and this is what it says. It says, all those who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. That's what it says. And so this morning we want to call upon the name of Jesus. And we want to put our faith in Him. And we want to trust Him with His plan. Not my plan, but with His plan. For His purpose, His goodwill. And as a church, we want to do the same thing. And we want to do it all for the glory of God. We want to see His name glorified. We want to see His kingdom built here in Rockland and in the world over. And, you know, so we want to pray for that as a church, that we continue to work in that and keep that as a central focus of our existence. Why we're here is to know Christ and to make Christ known. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we can just come into Your presence right now. And Lord, I pray for everybody sitting here, Lord. I pray if there's somebody here that's never put your faith in Jesus Christ, this morning, You're just turning in their hearts, Lord, that You're spinning them around and You're reminding them of what they need, Lord, that they fall short of the glory of God, that they need Jesus, that You convicted them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Lord, in doing so, You're pointing them to Jesus Christ, who is their Savior, who is the one who died for them, is the one who can help them, renew them, change them, give them new life. It's in putting our faith in Christ that we're saved. And so, Lord, I pray for that this morning, that somebody sitting here would just say, Lord, I give my life to You. I turn to You. I turn from my sin, and I give my life to You. I pray that for all of us, Lord. Help us all, Lord, as a church, to put our faith and our trust in You, Lord. Even when we don't understand what's happening, the trust in Your plan. Help us to do that in 2020, Lord. And again, thank You, Lord, for using us. Thank You for all the opportunities You give us. I pray for all the children that are coming to this church. I pray for Cottage Legacy, for Joaquin and the youth, for Awana, for VBS, for all that You're doing here, Lord. Pray for the congregation here on Sunday morning, for Sunday school program, for our Wednesday night Bible study. Everything that we're doing, for reaching the homeless, that You would bless those. Help us, Lord, to do it to the best of our ability for Your glory and for Your purposes. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.